want to thank Betsy this morning for her wonderful music. Thank you very much. It was great. And also, I want to thank Alan for his leadership today. Alan, you're a faithful and good servant, and grateful for how you share with us all through the year. So thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to ask this question. How has the Lord been faithful to you in the past? How is the Lord faithful to you today? And how will the Lord be faithful to you in the days, weeks, and in the future? As I was preparing this message on faithfulness and gentleness, I was drawn back to the first night that I arrived in Camp Fallujah, Iraq, back in August of 2004. And not too many hours after arriving, our camp was hit with a rocket attack and a CB was killed. A group of us chaplains, sailors, and Marines gathered around his body down at Bravo Surgical and prayed for his family and shipmates. Unfortunately, this would happen a number of times until we kicked the insurgents out of Fallujah in November and December of 2004. But right after that first incident, I thought to myself, I may not make it out of here alive. So what I would do at night when I finally got back to my rack each night is I would take my flak jacket, put it over me, my chest, and I'd put my helmet on and I'd try to sleep with all that gear. It wasn't too long after that, the Lord gently whispered to my mind, Tom, what are you doing? That will not protect you if a rocket attack comes slamming into your hooch. Your only protection is me, and your job is to be faithful and care for my people. I just started laughing to myself and realized that the Lord was absolutely right, and that he was faithful, he is faithful, and he will be faithful to me, and I will be okay no matter what happens. From that moment on, I felt free to be out with the troops, travel in convoy, and visit them while they were engaged with the insurgents in Fallujah. I felt free to live and to place my trust in God, who is faithful. Because whether we live or die, we will always live with the Lord. Romans 14:7-9 says this, we do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. God is faithful all the time. He's been faithful in the past. He is faithful today. And he will be faithful in the future. Our scripture from Deuteronomy 32 is a statement on the faithfulness of God through the life of Moses for the benefit of the Hebrew people. We know from the Old Testament that the Hebrew people were in captivity for 400 years, that God, in his faithfulness to his people, raised up Moses to lead the people out of captivity. In his faithfulness, God protected Moses from being killed as a child because a new Pharaoh feared the growth of the Hebrew people and ordered all male Hebrew children to be killed. In faithfulness, the Lord prepared Moses for this role and gave to him the strength of spirit to confront Pharaoh on behalf of the people. God, in his faithfulness, released the Hebrew people from captivity and protected them throughout their 40 years in the wilderness. God's faithfulness through Moses' leadership kept them on the path to the promised land. And the Lord, in his faithfulness, keeps us on the path of living with the Lord until such time that we are called home. After their entire life of God's faithfulness, the Hebrew people are now ready to cross over into the promised land. That's what Deuteronomy is all about. But before they do, Moses recalls in our scripture for today the faithfulness of God towards himself and the people those many past years. The people are about to cross over the Jordan into that promised land that the Lord has, in his faithfulness, is preparing for them. But Moses will not cross over, but Joshua will lead them into the promised land. Deuteronomy, as a book, is about reminding the Hebrew people of his instructions on godly living, on the law of God. And Moses is passing the torch of leadership, and before he does, he lifts up his voice to heaven and proclaims the faithfulness of God in Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 4. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, that the earth hear the words of my mouth, may my teaching drop like the rain. My speech condense like the dew, like gentle rain on grass, like showers on new growth. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe to God his greatness, the rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God without deceit, just and upright is he. What Moses says in this scripture is particularly caught my mind in verse 4 when he said that the Lord is faithful as a solid rock. Moses called God the rock. What is it about a rock that Moses would use that term to refer to God? Think about a rock. It's solid. It's firm. It has structural integrity, and it is reliable. Where would you build your house? On the beach here in Florida with the sand as the tide comes in and washes it away? Or would you do your best to build it on rock, on a solid foundation? Jesus used the same metaphor when he says in Luke 6, 46 to 49, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house but could not shake it because it had been well built. It was a house built on the rock. I remember the times hiking through the woods of New England and coming across old stone walls. Some of you remember those, right? Those old stone walls. Some of them were built by the early settlers to mark off their land and to keep their cattle within their property. After hundreds of years, many are still there. They've stood the test of time and have not been destroyed even with all the cold and storms of New England. What Jesus is stating and Moses gave voice to is that the Lord is our rock, and on him we build a secure, stable life with integrity based on God. And when those storms and challenges of life come, as they have come in the past and will come in the future, and maybe even present now, we will stand firm and strong and not be defeated. Though there are times when we cry out to God for help because of our distress, and we do not receive an answer immediately, we can think back to Jeremiah 29:11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. That's the Lord, our solid rock, to give us a future with hope. But sometimes, for some of us, we have to reach the very bottom to see up. This is a quote I came across. Sometimes God does let you hit rock bottom so that you will discover that he is the rock at the bottom. The Lord is a solid rock of faithfulness. The Lord is also, in his faithfulness, he is perfect. How he acts, what he does, who he is in his perfection. Moses proclaimed this in the verse of praise that God is perfect and his ways are perfect. Psalm 19 expresses perfectly that God's faithful word and perfect work can be trusted. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. This very dramatic scene in the story of Moses from Exodus is when the Hebrew people left Egypt and were eventually pursued by Pharaoh's army to bring them back into captivity. The people faced the sea with the Egyptians on their back. They cried out to Moses, "Did you bring us here to die in the desert?" Moses said to the people in Exodus 14:13, "Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today." God told Moses to tell the people to go forward, and as they did, a pillar of cloud provided a shield between them and Pharaoh's army. Moses stretched out his hand, and the God of faithfulness, the God as a rock, separated the waters, and the people moved through to safety and salvation. You know, there are many reasons why we as a people could feel uncertain for the future. There are many threats coming at us, both emotionally as well as physically and also outwardly. We need hope. We need salvation. And we cry out to God and we hear the words of Jesus who says, "Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Then believe me because of the works themselves." But we ask, how is God perfect when I am suffering and there seems to be no relief? How is God perfect when we see what went out on Dayton in El Paso this yesterday and the day before? Where is God's perfect work in that? My answer is, I do not know why the Lord allows some evil to happen, why the Lord chooses to heal some and not others, why the Lord chooses to save some and not others. I don't know the answer to that. As I learned in Iraq, I don't know why some of our Marines and sailors had to die and others didn't. But yet, I go back to the fact that God is faithful and that whether we live or we live and die unto the Lord. But I do believe very strongly, and the scriptures teach clearly, that God is good and he does intend good for us. To experience this faithful goodness, we must give our complete lives and trust to Jesus Christ. He will answer in the course of time that is best and most helpful for each one of us. It may be a season of stress and pain, and it may be that it's to strengthen us for a much more difficult time, or in that pain and distress, to be a witness of God's love and faithfulness to someone in greater stress than ourselves. The Hebrew people struggled with trusting God, but they witnessed the perfect works of God as he rescued them from the Egyptians and eventually had them cross over the Jordan into the land that he had promised to them. The Hebrew people were rescued physically from oppression, and we are rescued or saved by Jesus spiritually from evil and sin, that impression which evil and sin places upon us. Because evil and sin seeks to destroy our spirit by convincing us that depression, anxiety, and evil rule the day, when in fact Christ has set us free. Wait on the Lord. He will rescue you. There was a woman named Gladys who had an apple orchard in her yard. property. And she noticed one year that the branches hung heavy, and some were cracking with the weight of so much abundance. Never in many years had anyone seen such a harvest of apples. When she was asked why this year, she stated that the previous year there was a late frost in the spring and all the buds froze. When that happens, Gladys said, an apple tree does a miraculous thing. It stores up its energy in thousands of small bumps or nodules called scions. All that energy pulsates through the network of scions until the spring of the following year, and then bam, you have an explosion of buds as an apple tree unleashes all that stored up energy. And Gladys's description makes us think about our spiritual lives. Sometimes the harsh frosts of this life, cancer, divorce, bankruptcy, trauma, grief, depression, cause our hearts to freeze. But at the core of the Christian faith, we also live with an incredible promise. In and through Christ, there will be an abundant harvest in our lives. God's power is pulsating under the gnarly bark of this world and even our bodies. In Christ, we are being formed into a small nodule of living hope. During certain seasons of our life, we feel our hearts waiting, longing, and even aching for those frozen places to burst into life. Our living hope is that one day, all of this stored up glory will be unleashed in a joyful riot of splendor. The Lord is faithful, the Lord is perfect, and the Lord will be faithful to us as he has been in the past and will be in the future. Psalm 89, 1 through 2. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever, your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. And thirdly, in God's faithfulness, he calls us to be people of gentleness. And that's where gentleness comes from. It's from us when we see the faithfulness of God in our own lives and how he has given us such grace, we shan't want to share that grace with others, such as speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, show every courtesy to everyone, Titus 3:2. The most important thing for us as followers of Jesus is to understand with our minds, to believe in our hearts, and confess with our mouths that we, as every other person, are sinners saved by the grace of God. We are all in the same lifeboat called God's love for all people. And Jesus has provided the lifeboat of salvation to bring us into the presence of God. And if we can't agree, we agree to disagree and respect the dignity and personhood of all people. During World War I, British fighter pilots made an amazing discovery that thick layers of silk stopped low-velocity shrapnel better than steel. So they wound that silk around their heads and then wore leather horse riding helmets on top of the silk. Scientists still aren't sure just what it is that gives silk its strength, but it's true that in certain situations, soft, gentle, tender silk can prove far stronger than cold, hard steel. Jesus showed us that the same holds true for human character. Jesus showed us that gentleness, a heart that's soft toward others, and tenderness are in fact qualities of great strength. And today, as we celebrate communion, we see the gentle but firm and hopeful love of Jesus as he went to the cross to bear our sins. But before he did that, he instituted communion because he knew that night when he got together in the upper room with his disciples to have that last supper, that the cross was ahead of him. But he also knew that that wasn't the end of the story, that God in his faithfulness would raise up Jesus after 3 days to prove that he is in fact has power over life and death. And whether we live or die, we live and die unto the Lord. And that's what we will celebrate today as we prepare for communion. Let us pray. Lord, I'm grateful for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness speaks to us every moment of every day. It speaks to us through your word. It speaks to us through the lives of other people. It speaks to us through the church that you are indeed faithful, you are indeed good, and you are indeed perfect. In Jesus' name, amen.